Shall we pray? Our righteous eternal Father, we bless you this morning. We are grateful and thankful to you for your cares and mercy, your sustaining grace, your blessings upon us, your love that you are expressing to us on a daily basis, your keeping power, your blood, the Lord that ensures our prayers receive attention before you, your blood that gives us the right access before you, your blood that speaks better things on our behalf than the blood of Abel, the blood that cleanses and washes us on a daily basis. Thank you for your spirit that quickens the world, making it alive unto us, making it to be meaningful to us, making it to have impact upon our lives. We are grateful. We are always grateful to you that each time that we gather before you, either as an individual, as a family, or as a church, to hear your word. Lord, you are always there to give us an understanding. Lord, that will keep our minds, Lord, thinking about you. We are grateful to you. It's your program, Master Savior, to get us prepared by this sacred word that you have sent to us. We bless you. Thank you for taking us through this just concluded week. Thank you for the testimonies of your mercy and grace that you have given to us. We are grateful to you and for your mercy that has brought us to another week. We bless you. Lord, this week is here. Your grace has opened it for us. Lord Jesus, there are so many needs in there. You know the beginning of it. You know the end of it. But we are just starting it. We do not know what things that are in this week. But we know you, who knows everything about this. And so we commit ourselves to you, Almighty Father, that you will take care of our lives. You will take charge of everything that concerns us. Lord, we don't know what tomorrow holds, but we know you who holds tomorrow. Our lives are in your hand. And we have your wonderful promises, precious promises, Lord, that we are looking unto you to fulfill in our lives. And we are grateful that you are faithful. Lord, this past week we have testimony of your faithfulness. Surely we are going to have testimony of faithfulness again. Thank you for joining messages to those who traveled. Thank you for your blessings upon everyone, all our activities. Lord, we are here in your house, so full of needs, oh God, that no human being can meet. Spiritual needs, physical, financial, material, health needs. Lord, help of faith, master, deliverance, and all sorts, master. And you are more than able to meet them because our helps come from you. We want to ask your grace upon our lives today. Lord Jesus, while your blessings are dropping, while your blessings are finding your people, Master Savior, may we make ourselves available. Lord, may we not allow the enemy of our souls, the enemy of our God. He has chosen to be our enemy because he hates you. And because he hates you, he hates us. And he's doing everything. And the only way he could make you unhappy is to get us. But you have promised that there is no weapon that will be fashioned against us that shall prosper. Master, into your hand we commit ourselves that you will undertake for us today. That all the blessings that you have prepared will be partakers of the same. And that our joy will be full. Your hands will reach down to touch our lives. You will transform our lives. Lord Jesus, you will lift us up, Lord. And at the end of the entire service of the day, Master Savior, our joys will be full. And your name will be glorified. Help us today, Lord, in the entire services. May all the glory and honor be yours. For we ask this, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. God bless you. Let's open our Bible to, as usual, to Revelation chapter 1, as we try to read. Revelation chapter 1, from verse 16 to 20, and then we'll read chapter 3, verse 14. Then we will read Revelation chapter 10, verse 1 to 7. Praise be to God. And he had in his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the 7 stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the 7 golden candlesticks, the 7 stars are the angels of the 7 churches, and the 7 candlesticks which thou sawest are the 7 churches. Chapter 3, verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. The beginning of the creation of God. Chapter 10. Forgotten our story, just a verse. Chapter 10, you can be seated, please. I'm reading from verse 1 to 7. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his waist was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his right hand a little book open, and he set his feet, his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth. And cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roaring. And when he had cried, 7 thunders uttered their voices. And when the 7 thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Seal up those things which the 7 thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swore by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the earth, created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth, and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the 7th angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished, as he has declared to his servants, the prophets. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts. God bless you. By the grace of God, we continue with the revelation, the background to the revelation of the 7 seals. As we begin to look at the events, the scenarios that surrounded the preaching of the 7 seals. If we avail ourselves of the materials that have been given unto us, and you know, for me, I would expect that some of us will have been going through some sermons, you know, pointing to the revelation of the 7 seals. I will personally expect that to get myself acute. And we know that this revelation of the 7 seals was not just preached suddenly, like any other sermon. There have been series of information ahead of time, preparing the people to get them to know that something special, a special fulfillment of the scripture was about to take place. So there were events that preceded the preaching of the revelation of the 7 seals. Besides the preaching that the prophets engaged himself in, there were dreams by 6 people, then capped by a vision given to the prophet, making 7, pointing to the preaching of the revelation of the 7 seals. Each person that had a dream had symbolic dreams. The symbolic dream that he had, everything was talking about Abraham. And because it was, the dreams were in a symbol, the dreamers did not understand the meaning. And remember, as we have been rightly taught by the prophet, that a symbolic dream can only be interpreted by a vindicated prophet. I want to repeat myself. A symbolic dream can only be interpreted. The meaning of it can only be given to the person that had the dream, whether the dream was talking about the dreamer, or the dream was talking about another person, or the dream was talking about the interpreter. In which case, the 6 dreams that the 6 brethren had were talking about Brother Abraham and his ministry. So we have been made to know that symbolic dreams cannot be interpreted by just any ordinary person, but by a prophet, vindicated prophet. And when I say vindicated, I mean the prophet told us that that man had the first dream rightly interpreted. That man says, thus said the Lord, 1 time, 2 times, 3 times, 100 times coming to pass. Not one failing. That is the man that is vindicated. If he gave 4th prophecy, out of 5 prophecies, 4 comes to pass and 1 failed, is not vindicated. I will have a cause to doubt if he gives the 5th prophecy. I will not have 100% confidence in him. I will be having some measure of doubt that perhaps because 1 out of 5 failed, it's likely this one failed too. I've been in between 2. Well, it's like maybe I should be expecting it to come to pass. My whole attention, my whole heart will not be given to it. It's either I expect it to come to pass or I expect it to fail. But when the man is vindicated, you tie your soul to everything that is in that dream. Praise be to God. And that is why it is very difficult for me today. Well, I'm talking about myself. I don't know about you. And that also depends upon your stand by the word. It depends on your revelation of the word. God is responsible for his church. He's responsible for his church, yes. God is responsible for his church. He knows what to do to meet the needs of his people. I will not be confident to give my symbolic dream to a man that I know is not vindicated. Because you will get an interpretation that may ruin your life. If I follow a man's ministry and people say he's a prophet, I will follow him. Remember, the ministry of Abraham was secretly investigated by FBI. Are you with me? US, they don't take anything for granted. All the preachers in Nigeria that will prophesy and say Obasanjo will know that Obasanjo will not be there, even in the first election. Obasanjo came back, he did the first 4 years, and he came back the second and spent the four years again, making 8 years, and he was 1 minute for the third time. And there is a preacher still alive today who said Obasanjo will not get there, that God told him. And the man is still preaching to his congregation today. The congregation is still saying amen to his preaching. He's still prophesying to them, they are still believing it. That's Tunde Bakare, Pastor Tunde Bakare. It's not his, it's in the public. So if I say on the pulpit, I'm not backbiting against him. It's in the newspaper. Are you with me? Is it that man that will prophesy?
Every year, this is December, you will see some of these BB preachers, so-called BB preachers, they will roll out prophecies.
How many of them come to pass?
The newspaper will be selling. They will expect them to give prophecies. They will roll out prophecies. This is going to happen to this country, this and this. People are specifically interested in Pastor Adeboye. They are specifically interested in Oyedepo. They are specifically interested in this and that and this and this and this in their realms. There are many, many of them. Who are they? Who are they in the light of the world? Who are they in the light of the world? They are not up to the fivefold in the message of the hour. You know? So what are we talking about? Abraham himself has already taught us that a symbolic dream can only be interpreted by a vindicated prophet. And such the symbolic dream is not just what somebody hears and he gives the interpretation straight away like that. The interpreter of that symbolic dream will see the dream over while the dreamer is relating it. If I was a prophet and you had a dream, symbolic dream, and you are narrating it to me, while you are narrating it, I'll be seeing the dream like this in form of a vision. That's how it was happening to the prophet. And then the prophet will caution them and say, this area, that wait, this part, or if they wrote it out for him, by the time he picked it and he prayed and he was looking at it, a vision will break. That very dream that the person had while he was sleeping, the prophet will be looking at it. And then the part that the dreamer missed in writing, the prophet will see. And then we call the dreamer. And we tell the dreamer that in your dream, when you narrated like this, you got to a point like this, something happened here and here and here, this is not happened, but you don't need to write it. The person will say, that is true, I forgot. Now, somebody will not give you an interpretation of that. Would it be correct? Did you hear me? Did you hear me? What did I say? Because I expected your response to be louder than that. If a man could tell you a part of the dream that you did not narrate, and you know it is true, what he said, and you'll be wondering, how did he know it? So if he now gave you the interpretation of that dream, wouldn't you believe it? Because the thing that you had in your dream that it was not there, he was able to tell you. That is how Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar, that's how it happened. The dream that Nebuchadnezzar had that he has forgotten, God purposely withdrew it from his memory to showcase Daniel. God withdrew it from his memory. He cranked his brain to remember. He could not pick a single element of the dream. He got enraged and called his soothsayers. He called his whatever. The people, magicians and all of them that, you know, astrologers, that he has trained for that purpose. When they were needed, they failed. Because God was in action. They failed. They couldn't, they were telling, they were playing card with him. As he was pushing it to them, they were pushing back to him. He told them that, of course, I have a dream and it's disturbing my mind. I cannot remember the dream. So come and tell me the dream and the interpretation. They look at him and say, there is no king that has ever asked a thing like this. What you are talking about, it has never been. You purposely want to kill us. It's an impossibility. What we can do is that just remember the dream, tell us. Then we will fashion out the interpretation for you. What did he tell them? He said, how will I believe your interpretation? Go and read your Bible. If you cannot tell me the dream, how will I believe your interpretation? That your interpretation is correct. If the dream I cannot remember, you cannot tell me, then how will I accept your interpretation? May the Lord be our help. We read here. Those events, the dreams are very long. I will encourage us to go and pray the sermon. Is this the sign of the hand, sirs? Is this the sign of the hand, sirs?
You can read from paragraph 125 to, within this few time, let's do a little reading of the first dream. As we start from paragraph 125, SARS. Bless you. The first person that had dream was Brother Jackson. Brother Jackson was a brother from another assembly who came to believe. I think he was in Baptist or so, or whatever. And he came to the message. He was from a denomination. Well, we don't need to give his background here. Just Brother Jackson dreamt a dream. He couldn't get away from it. And I was leaving his church, and he just couldn't stand it. How long ago has it been, Brother Jackson? Brother Jackson says, I had a dream in February of 1961, Brother Abraham. February of 61. And this was preached in 1962, December 30, in the evening. A day to the crossover night. How many years? About 2 years. Yeah, because this is 1962. That was 1961 February. So 61 February to 62 February is a year. And Abraham was now preaching it in 62 December, which means 2 months to that time, it will be 2 years that Jackson had a dream. And he came to me and he said, something is on my mind, in my heart. I must tell you, Brother Abraham. I said, go on, Brother Jackson. And he said, I dreamt a dream. And there it was. If you listen to the tapes, that statement, and there it was. Brother Abraham screamed there. Can you play it? That paragraph 128. Just listen to it. No, play it from the upper part. We are still together. So, from there. Did you hear that? And there it was. What were Ram saying there? He came hoping before him. The dream that Jackson was telling him, there it was. Hoping before him. All right, let's go on. Go and listen to it on your own. Let's say, that's the way to appetite, is that not? All right, so let's continue together. I'm going to preach this morning, Sunday school. Not to let it. But just to let you hear the inspiration of the prophet. And what God has done for us in this age. That we are not following cunningly devised fable. As people call us courts, they did that to the apostles. Even Brother Paul said, is that in the way that they call heresy? And that is the way I serve the God of my fathers. Alright? And there it was. I just sat still and I listened and watched. I listened and watched. He said, I dreamed that there was a great big hill, like out in a field. We have blue grass or something was, and said up on top of this hill, where the water had washed away the soil, there was a top rock, you know, an outcrop rock, a top rock, where water had washed away, you know, the soil, there was a top rock, up on top the hill, like the top of the mountain, it was rock, no grass. And where the water had washed down, it had caught some kind of readings on those stones, you know, effect of the erosion. And you were standing there, that Brother Jackson telling Brother Abraham, you were standing there interpreting this dream on the stone. Let me tell you something. If Brother Abraham had not seen the dream in a vision form, he would not be able to relate it. Are you getting me now? Somebody comes to tell you, it's a very lengthy dream. It's a very lengthy dream. If most words that Abraham used there, they are the word of his own because of the dream that he had. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Do you understand what I'm saying there? That because he has seen it in a vision, he could capture the details of it and relate it to us. Because it was like him having the dream, because he saw it in a vision. So, in fact, that vision was even more real than the dream. Because visions are thus said the Lord. And you know, a symbolic dream interpreter becomes thus said the Lord. Becomes prophecy. Alright? And where the water had washed down, it had caught some kind of readings on the stones. And you were standing there interpreting this reading on the stones. Brother Jackson had a dream and said, all of us, and here is the way he put it, said, the brethren from Georgia and from all around, we were all standing together, listening to you interpret that mysterious writing on those stones. That mountain. He said, then you pick up something like from the air. Something like a wrench bar or a crowbar. Wasn't it, brother? Something like that. A wrench bar. Real sharp. And say it. And say it. How you done it? I don't know. He said, you struck the top of that mountain, rip it around, and lifted the cap off, the cap of it off. It was in the shape of a pyramid. And you ripped the top of it off. Now, that was months and months and months before the pyramid message was preached. You know, we are saying that this is about 2 years now. And said, pyramid as a, well, let me leave it that. And said, brethren, that was white stones, granite. And you say, the sun or the light has never shone on it. This before. Look on this. Watch this. And that is right, because in the foundation of the world was formed before there was light. We all know that. God moved upon the water, and then in the beginning, he spoke for light. And naturally down under there, in the age that formation was, the light was never come upon that stone. And he said, look upon this. Brabham was the one that told the people in the dream, look upon this. Light has never shone on it before. And when all of them got up, and I told them to watch that, and all of them come up to look in. But he said, while they were looking in, he looked out of the corner of his eyes, I believe it was, and watched me. I slipped off to one side and started going towards the west, towards the setting of the sun, coming up a hill, going down a hill, coming up a hill, going down a hill, getting smaller and smaller, and went all the way out of sight. And he said, then when I did that, he said, then the brethren turned around. After a while, said, did he vanish? Where did he go? And said, some took out that way, some took one way, and some another. But the very few stayed and looked on to what I had told them. Now, notice the interpretation of the dream, which I never told one thing, or none of this did I tell any of them. But I said, yes, and my heart shaking, I was watching. Now, the mysterious writing, wait, I will just leave it. He left the interpretation. Because the interpretation blended with the interpretation of the other five dreams that were coming. You have to leave that here. And then suddenly he moved into another dream of another brother. Well, we wait. I will just leave it for a little bit. Paragraph 135. Not long ago, Brother Billa is usually with us. Are you here, Brother Billa? Yes, back here. Billy said, Brother Billa is all tore up. He had a strange dream. There's no man that we have a strange dream, it will look one kind. That's why it was with Nebuchadnezzar. I went to Brother Billa and I said, down at his house one night when I was going on some calls, and he said, Brother Abraham, I had a strange dream. Said, I dreamed that I was going down a stream of water towards the west, and there was a road on the left side, and I was on the left side going westward on the road. Seems like hunting for cattle. And on the right side, I happened to notice after I got there that there you are. And you were rounding up a big bunch of cattle. And there was plenty of feed over there. And said, then you got those cattle and started them back up the river. And seemingly,
that I must have nodded to him to watch those cattle. And he said, now, it will be easy for those cattle. I know they will go the way of least resistance. But Abraham wanted them to stay on the right side of that river. So I will go back up this road and keep them from crossing across the river on this side, and keep them on that side. But he noticed I never followed the cattle, but went on westward. He said, he must be hunting strays. No more than he spoke the dream, I saw it. You see that? What did he see? He saw in a vision. I saw it. And then notice, he said he got a little leery about me. So he went back to look. And I said I was coming to a solid mountain. And all at once I vanished. And he wondered what was wrong. He went down, and then he had a little stream on his side that forked off to the left. I think that's right, Brother Bela. Yeah. And he noticed from and over on my side was a terrific falls. And then he thought I could have got in those falls and perished. Because it wasn't seeing Abraham anymore. Abraham vanished. So he thought Abraham had fallen into that fall and perished there. And perished. Then he noticed and he said, he looked around, he seen the effects of those fall. He had went down this way and was causing an artesian well to spur up. But the water wasn't going back in the ground. He looked across the little branch or little stream and he seen some little animals with ran hairs. And he said, I believe I will take one. And he crossed. Then he got to thinking about me and he got up on a little knoll to look over and see if there was a little bitty narrow ledge, you know, that I could have walked across. I ran. But said, there wasn't nothing. He got worried. He said, what happened to our brother? Wonder what happened to Brother Abraham. And when he got scared, he said he heard me speak. And I was standing on top of a mountain and told Brother Bila an interpretation of a dream that I had given him not long ago in that dream. And told him to wait on the Lord that someday I will meet him on an island. And there he was. Now, the interpretation of that dream is this. In so much that the stream was large, it was the stream of life. You see the interpretation now? In so much that the stream was large, it was the stream of life. This interpretation that Abraham was given to this dream was not his idea. Remember, he saw this dream in another vision. And when vision broke like that, interpretation will follow it. It was a stream of life. I was going westward on it, and so was he, because he was on a road. He was running small down this road. And on the other side was lots of grass, but lots of thickets and briars and jungle, but in there was much grass. And that is what, and that's the way we hunt for the law and the food of the law through difficult rounding up the cattle. Was this church keeping them on that side? Cattle will all actually go on the smooth road, the denomination, if they can, which the road represented denomination. I started him back up the road to see that they did not go to any denomination. In so much that it was a wall that was totally impossible to pass, that kept me from going west, was that task case with the government. Can you remember that? The task case that Abraham had? How many of us remember the task case of Abraham? Well, bless you. Look at the interpretation of that here. A wall that made it difficult to cross. The interpretation was that wall represented a task case with the government. Nobody can understand how I ever got out of it. It was a wall that blocked me off. But the Lord took me through it, and I was over it. I met you, Brother Bila, on the highland. So now, then, immediately after that, Brother Roy Robinson. That's the third dream. Brother Roy, are you here tonight? Yes, I believe. What? A brother says, over at the side. Over at the side. He called me and he had a dream. And he dreamed that we were rounding cattle. Now, rounding up the cattle, and there was grass, belly deep, plenty of food. All of us brethren were together, and we came to a place for dinner.
and Brother Fred Sutman raised up and said, Elijah the great prophet will speak from here today at noon. And then when all had dinner, everybody went away, and he wondered why they didn't want wait to hear it being spoken, what he said. Now, see how that exactly cops with Brother Jackson. See that exactly hits exactly what Brother Bila said. No one waited to find out. Notice, immediately after that, Sister Collins. Are you here, Sister Collins? That's the fourth dream. Dream a dream of being here at the church, and there was a wedding fixing to take place. And what she did is she saw the bridegroom coming in, perfect, but the bride wasn't very perfect. Yet it was the bride. Now that's the church. You see, capital C church. And there was like a communion, a service going on here, like a dinner being said. And it kind of got next to her because that brother Neville was serving the dinner in the church. But she said it was the best food that she had ever seen. She was so hungry, but she thought maybe that in the dream that he shouldn't serve it. And she and Brother Willard were going to go up to the ranch house and eat. And when they did, the light on the right-hand side went out. Now, you know what that is. Now, the food, the bride isn't perfect, but the bridegroom is perfect. The bride is not perfect yet. Remember, the revelation of the seven seals has not been given, which is to give the rapturing faith, to confirm all that Abraham had been preaching before that time, and then the one that will be preaching before, to tie all of them together, to give an awesome rapturing faith. That's what makes the bride perfect. Praise be to God. Perfect. The bride is not perfect yet, but the food that was being given was not literal food. It is the spiritual food that you've been having all along. Let me stop here on this fourth dream. Just a moment. Praise be to God. By the grace of God, we will continue next Sunday as God spares our lives. And then we'll be able to relate it with some other things. So let us see four symbolic dreams that brethren have pointing towards the same thing. And when the other two had their dreams, God came with a vision to Brother Abraham and to tell him it is time for the revelation of the seven seals. Let's bow down our heads. God bless you. God bless you, sir.
My dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again this morning for sparing our lives and bringing us together to sit at your feet to learn more of you and your message that you have sent to us in this time. Thank you for our prophet. We cannot talk about the message without talking about the messenger. Because your prophet told us that the messenger and the message, they are one. We are very grateful. We appreciate you, Father. Blessed be thy holy name, Lord. Our Father and our God, we have had a portion of it again this morning. Lord Jesus, that is exactly what happened when you came in the flesh. Yes. Lord, with signs and wonders and miracles that we are performing, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Herodians, the Sanhedrin Council, they couldn't say those signs were not there because everybody was witnessing them. But it's just that they couldn't have the revelation of what was happening, and they come to a conclusion that you were doing it with the power of Beelzebub, the chief of all the devils. And you told them, any kingdom that is divided against itself cannot stand. We thank you for the vindication of the messianic sign that you did when you came. We thank you for the continuation of the same in our day. We are grateful. We are thankful. That is why we give all that we have for the message. May your grace help us, O God, that the message continue to direct our lives as individuals, as families, as a church, everything that the message says. Lord, there is no an iota of it that is questionable. Yes. The entire message is thus says the Lord. Help us, Heavenly Father. Thank you for the portion that has gone forth. Give us understanding. Give us revelation. Let your grace, Lord, be released unto us. Your mercy, O God. Lord, unto us that we have this understanding and have the ability to line up with the same. Thank you, Father. May you continue to give us rapturous faith, Lord. Bless your servant that you have used as usual, graciously replenish it for the virtue that has left him. Thank you, our Father. Blessed be thy holy name. In Jesus' precious name, we pray with all faith at times given. Amen.